More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. With election season in full swing, it's easy to think that today's political environment is more polarized than in the past. That back in the old days, consensus was the norm. Politicians didn't calculate with precision their next moves, and war wasn't politicized. Of course, one has to merely rewind about 150 years to the American Civil War to rejigger that assumption. In the aftermath of the September 1862 battles at Antietam and the subsequent penning of the initial Emancipation Proclamation, the political conscience of the country could not be more fraught with anxiety, shared in great measure by the great emancipator Abraham Lincoln himself. And as our Civil War historian Thomas Martin Sobotky shares with us, the Iron Brigade and its Wisconsin soldiers were naturally right in the thick of it all. As our Iron Brigade and Beyond series continues, Sobotky explains that among the casualties at the arguably Union victory at Antietam was the career of General George McClellan.
McClellan didn't follow up Lee in 1862. And he was eventually replaced a week after the congressional elections of 1862. This was political. You're going to leave this Democratic general. He was a Democrat, and the president was a Republican. And I'm going to wait to replace McClellan, who's very popular, until after the election, in which, by the way, Republicans did horribly, because a lot of people didn't like this idea of emancipation. And they also didn't like the way the war was going. It was not going very well for the Union at that moment. But he got rid of McClellan, brought in a guy named Burnside, who was known for those whiskers, sideburns today. Did a great job to get down to Fredericksburg, and there was this terrible, bloody pre-Christmas battle at Fredericksburg where the Iron Brigade welcomed a new Western regiment into their ranks to make up for all the guys they'd lost at Antietam, the 24th Michigan. And they weren't sure these guys were up to it, but they were in the line facing Stuart's cavalry down by the river for a day, and did a real good job with Pelham's artillery. They withstood the fire, hardly flinched. And there was a grudging acceptance. They'll do. So you've got the 24th Michigan. John Gibbon had left command of the brigade and went on to command a division, which is a larger group of men. He was that good. And a new guy, the 19th Indiana, Saul Meredith, the guy who was 6'7", and a political guy, got the inside track on any other colonel in the regiment to command the whole brigade. And that wasn't very popular within the brigade. I think the Indianans were okay with it. The Hoosiers were. But he was okay as a commander. This brigade was still good. But there were all these lost opportunities. And Lincoln said at Christmas time, you know, if there's a worse place than hell, I am in it. You know, and he has this one battle that's fought out west called Stone's River that's 2 days. And it kind of falls just before New Year's and on New Year's Day. And it's a Union victory in hard circumstances. General Rosecrans wins it. And it is just enough for Lincoln to get through the winter without completely losing his mind. It was very difficult. That year had been a hard year, and 1863 didn't look like it was going to be better in the East.
Pewaukee historian and teacher Thomas Martin Sobotky is the voice of our Iron Brigade and Beyond, Wisconsin in the Civil War series. He's the author of the book Across That Dark River, The Civil War Memory, published by Moving Train Books. Our Civil War series is produced by Stephanie Lecce. It's been a remarkable turn of events for Milwaukee musician Christopher Porterfield. His new band and CD, Field Report, are attracting some major notice. We'll chat with him, and he'll play in the studio when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.